do I want what she has?
Your weekly antidote to the patriarchy.
Amplifying girls' voices and their stories.
Teresa Widman, and as you might be able to tell, I have a very special guest for today's show. I got to sit down with my niece, Ava, last week to talk a little bit about what I was calling life hacks. And she might think that it's more about life tips. Some of it might be life hacks, but the idea was to talk to Ava. For those of you who have been listening, I've been in Wisconsin for a few weeks now, and I've been spending a lot of quality time with Ava. She is a very special 12-year-old girl who has lots of interests and does lots of things. And I thought that it would be fun to learn from her tips about the things that she enjoys doing. So she learned a new tip last week. She learned a new skill when we sat down to do a little recording together, which was a lot of fun for me. And I got to learn some of the cool things about her life. And really, we'd be interested to hear from you all. What are your life hacks? Because we've all got them. And that's kind of the cool part of today's show, I think, is that we all can learn from one another. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have experiences that are valuable, not only to ourselves, but potentially to others. And so we're going to hear a little bit from Ava about her life hacks later on in the show. I'm going to share some entertaining and also useful life hacks that I found from various websites online and a few of my own that I employ myself. So without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Ava. So I thought I would ask you, first of all, what is a life hack?
Well, I think a life hack is like when somebody like gives you like an easier way or like tells you how to like do something, I guess.
Where would you find information on a life hack?
Well, like where would I find life hacks? I feel like you can find them like online, or some people can like tell you, but that might be more like, if someone tells you, it might be more like a tip or something.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, I don't know if you do this regularly, but I know that YouTube is a place where people might go to find things. Have you ever found anything like that on YouTube?
I mean, I've seen like 5-minute craft videos, but they're not very helpful.
Why do you think they're not helpful?
Because I feel like sometimes they don't work. Like, it's kind of more like, I guess you could call it like an experiment. Like, so.
Okay. So where do you find information about how to do things that you want to do?
I use YouTube like for knitting, learning how to knit. Okay. Or like crocheting. I looked on YouTube too, so that they could show me how to do it. But then also like Google and stuff. So.
Right. And when you Google, are you finding different people's websites, or what are you looking at actually?
Well, yeah, I look at websites like for different patterns for like sewing and stuff, or like these people that are like really good and like professional as like painters and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'd like go to their website or watch their videos. So, yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the things that you like to do. You've already mentioned knitting and crocheting. Are there other crafts that you like to do?
I like painting. Mm-hmm. And then I also like, well, I like doing clay, but I don't do that very often.
Okay. And if, let's say somebody was just starting out as a painter, what advice would you give them?
Well, I'd like, I feel like you should take it simple for, like, your first paintings. Like, look for some ideas on, like, Google or YouTube, or you could follow some tutorials on YouTube. I recommend, like, I like watercolor. I don't know if you like, the design of watercolor, but if you just put, like, splotches on a page and then just think of something and make sure that you enjoy it.
That's a key part of it, right? Just having fun with it and not worrying about the outcome. Do you worry about the outcome when you do painting?
Well, I mean, sometimes, but if it goes wrong and you think you really need to try again, you can. But I feel like even if it goes wrong, you could always make something different out of it.
Mm-hmm. You told me about something that you had seen where people start an piece of art and then they pass it around to different people. What was that called?
I don't know what it's called, but they, like, you would start a painting and then, like, 10 minutes later, you would hand it to somebody else and then they would, like, add what they want to add to it, and then you would just keep doing that.
Have you ever done anything like that?
Kind of. One time I drew some fruits and then I didn't think that they turned out very well. So then I actually gave them to you and then you finished them for me.
Do you think the painting was better before or after I started adding to it?
Well, I mean, yours, it was, like, more creative than mine. I feel like I kind of liked it better because it was, like, more colorful and more creative.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was just, like, plain colors.
And where do you come up with your ideas for painting? Because I feel like sometimes people look at a blank piece of paper and think, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? And the blank piece of paper scares them. And so then they don't do anything and they just don't paint. What do you do to come up with your ideas?
What I look up is I look on the internet for, like, I guess you could call them, like, reference photos. But so then I find one that I like. And then if that's a little bit too difficult, then I might look for more or I might try it. But then I also change it up so that it's more like my style. So, yeah.
And what would you say your style is? Do you know?
Well, I feel like for drawing, it's like cartoony, but then for watercolor, I like to do like very colorful and I like to do fruits and yeah.
I feel like about a year ago, you didn't like to do watercolors. Is that true?
Yeah, because I felt like it had to be perfect, but it definitely doesn't. You should meet your standards of what it should look like. And so, yeah.
And what do you think changed? How did you come to that realization and let go of that other idea that you had?
Well, like, because I looked at, like, some paintings and they're not perfect, you know. So then I felt like, well, I might as well just try it. And then I tried it and I really liked it because I felt like I could do, like, whatever and it didn't really matter.
I love it. So let's talk about some of the other crafts. If you were just starting out and you were to make a decision about whether you wanted to start to knit or crochet, how would you help somebody come to a decision about that? Do you think one is easier than the other?
I think crocheting is easier because, like, for knitting, you have to, like, cast on and stuff. But for crocheting, you really just have to tie a knot and then you do, like, I think it's called a chain stitch, I think. And then for the stitching that I use, and then it's pretty easy. But then I looked at some videos to help me, and then my grandma kind of knew how to do it, so she helped me too. So, yeah. Like,
and what kind of things do you like to crochet? What if you're, like, starting out, what would you suggest somebody could crochet that's easy?
I feel like a dish rag or a washcloth, because that you can make them look really cool as you get, like, better at it. But then in the beginning, you can just make a simple square with a very simple, like, pattern. So, yeah, that's what I started off making, just little squares, practicing the different stitches and stuff.
What is the most difficult thing that you have crocheted or knitted so far?
Well, I tried to do a stuffed animal and it didn't really work out. And I want to try it again, but I don't know how I should do that yet. So,
was that crocheting a stuffed animal?
Yeah, like you would make the different pieces and then you would crochet them together.
Okay. And I've seen you working on some very large knitting projects. Or no, are those crocheting projects? Right? The big blankets?
Oh,
or
yeah.
What is that?
Well, the blankets, I think you should, if you want to like get into like knitting and stuff, a blanket's a really good way to practice because you only need your hands and yarn. And it's pretty easy. You just put loops through other loops and it just is pretty simple.
And what, you use very large yarn for that?
Yeah, so like it was easier to work with, I guess, for in the beginning.
And how did you learn? Did you have a pattern or did you go and find a video online to start that?
Well, I kind of saw them online, like different people were making them and people were like buying them too, but I thought that I could make it. So then I looked up like a pattern and I tried to do it. I followed some videos and then I got a hang of it and I made like 3 of them. So yeah.
And are they really cozy?
Yeah.
How long would you say it takes you to make a blanket?
Well, the one I made one for my dad and it only took me like 2 like nights. But then one, I made a really big one and it took me a while because I had school and stuff. So I couldn't like work on it every day. So it took me like a couple weeks because I couldn't work on it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So are there any other kind of crafting tips that you feel like talking about?
Well, I feel like if you're like crafting or no matter what you're doing, you just can't get frustrated and you just have to keep going because eventually you'll get it. And if it takes a while, it'll take a while, but I think eventually everybody can, if they keep practicing, they'll be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. And there are some kind of arts and crafts that you do that maybe are even better for beginners because it's kind of gives you everything right there. Like I know you do diamond paintings and you've done paint by numbers. Would you recommend that for people who are just starting out?
Yeah. The paint by numbers kind of teaches you like the technique to use, like as you do it, you like try different stuff. And then it tells you where to put the colors and it comes with everything that you need except a water cup. So yeah. And then the diamond painting, it comes with everything you need again. And then it tells you like where to put all the little gems. But if you like, the numbers are very, very small. So, yeah.
You need a magnifying glass if you have aging eyes to do the diamond painting or the paint by numbers?
Yeah, well, of course I didn't need one, but other people might. Like if you wear glasses, you'll probably have to wear your glasses for that.
Yeah. Happy Moon Day. It's Monday. We had a full moon recently. Friday was a full moon. They refer to it as the buck full moon because from what I understand, the buck's antlers are peaking right now. And full moons oftentimes can make us feel a little bit more intensely. So sometimes full moons, I think that's maybe where they get the term lunatic from, where our emotions can become heightened around full moon time. I guess the quote unquote scientific theory might be the moon stirs up more action with the water, and the water inside of us is where we hold our emotions. So
You might say that it's kind of activating the emotions within ourselves. Anyways, I hope everyone's calming down if they've felt a little activated by Friday's full moon or found ways to stay cool and calm throughout it all. I am today on the show sharing my conversation with my niece, Ava, listening to her share some of her life tips and life hacks. We talked earlier about crafting, and we've got more subjects to cover. We're going to get into, we're going to get into sports and cooking and self-care and some other fun things. So we're going to get back to that conversation now.
All right. So let's change gears. Let's talk about life hacks in the kitchen. Do you like to make things in the kitchen, Ava?
Yes, I like to bake, but I also like to cook, but I like baking more, I think.
Do you have any specialties?
Well, I like to make macaroons, and I want to try to make cheesecake. I haven't yet, but I want to try to.
What do you think's been holding you back about the cheesecake since it's your favorite dessert?
I haven't really looked for a recipe for it yet.
Okay.
And I've been, I've made other stuff. Like, I made brownies and Rice Krispies and just those kind of easier desserts.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then I also want to try to make a cake, which I have before, but I want to make kind of more of, a homemade cake.
Mm-hmm. Not just a box that you pour and add oil and egg in kind of cake. Yeah. So let's talk about the macaroons, because from what I understand, those are kind of tricky cookies to get right. And I know that you've made a lot of them in your lifetime so far. So what have you learned about making macaroons? And this is the, I don't know how you distinguish them, right? Because some people think, I should at least say, when I originally heard macaroon, I thought it was like the coconut macaroon, like the chunks of coconut cookie. That's not the macaroon that you're talking about, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about it kind of looks like an Oreo, but it's like one of those. Like, it has the little round cookies and it has cream in the middle. So yeah, that's the one that I make.
And what made you interested in making them in the first place?
Well, I like the taste of them, and I heard that they were really difficult, so I wanted to try them. So, yeah.
What do you think is difficult about them?
Well, getting the batter just right, because they're like, they might not cook all the way, or they might have what they call, the feet on the edge, where it, distinguishes, those are one of the characteristics of a macaroon. Or, they might not rise, they might have, an indent in them, they might have air bubbles. So it's kind of very hard to, get it just right.
Okay, so let me take each of those one at a time, maybe. When you say getting the batter just right, what does that mean? Does that mean there's a certain steps in the process, or the exact ingredients? How do you make sure you get the batter right?
Well, there's a certain kind of flour you have to use. I think it was almond flour. I think that's what it was. And then you have to fold it, and you can't just stir it. Folding is when you flip the batter on top. And then you also have to mix it a certain amount of times, which is kind of difficult. And they have to get the right texture of it. So yeah.
How do you know when you've gotten to the right texture?
Well, it's whatever the recipe says. You could be able to do a figure eight without it falling, without it breaking or whatever.
Okay. Can you explain that again? Make a figure eight. How do you make a figure eight? So
you would take the spoon or the spatula that you were using, and you dip it in, and you would have to draw a figure eight without it breaking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, without the stream stopping.
Okay. Okay. And then what is this about the feet of the, what?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's like the edge of the cookie. So basically it rises in like a certain thing and creates like these, they kind of look like bubbles around the edge, like the bottom of the cookie. So yeah, but like if you don't like bake it correctly, then they might not form. So.
And what are the things to be looking out for when it comes to baking it correctly? Is it like the having the oven preheated, or what is it exactly?
Well, you have to make sure that you don't open the oven while you're baking them, because otherwise they can deflate and there's going to be like dips in them. And you also have to make sure you like set them out or bang the pan on the table when after you pipe them so that there's no air bubbles.
Okay. Okay. Anything else tricky or unusual about these cookies that you think of would be helpful to point out?
I don't think so.
And do you have a favorite recipe that you go to?
I think it was by Tasty, that like YouTube channel. They bake a lot of stuff, and I think I used their recipe.
And do they have, this is just my naivete because I don't eat macaroons really, but do they have different flavors?
Yeah.
Or is it just different colors?
You can make different flavors. Like you can add cocoa powder for like chocolate. And then I'm guessing you could add probably like lemon in the frosting for like the different flavors. I have only tried like the normal flavor. So, but I've made different colors. So you just add food coloring.
All right. Anything else that you like to make or bake?
Well, I like to make mac and cheese.
Yeah. Do you follow, is it a homemade or do you make it from a box?
I do both, but when I make it homemade, it really isn't the best sometimes.
What do you think goes wrong?
Well, I don't know if I don't like melt the cheese all the way or like I don't add enough milk, because I feel like the cheese like clumps together.
Okay. So we're looking for a life hack for mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So anybody out there listening who has one, you can send it our way. We're looking for a mac and cheese life hack. What are the other things that you like to make? I feel like you do a lot of food preparation for yourself and others. Do you have any tips about making smoothies?
Well, I recommend that you add some kind of liquid. I don't recommend water, though, because it could taste weird with like the fruit or whatever you add in. But some people might like that. So you can, of course, always try it. But I recommend you add some kind of milk, rather be almond milk, soy milk, normal milk, or like lactose-free milk or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you like yogurt, you can add that. Like fruit-flavored yogurt that goes like with the fruit that you added. So yeah, and then I recommend using frozen fruit. That's normally what I use. And I feel like it's good in summer and winter. I don't know, but yeah.
It's good summer food.
Yeah, especially for breakfast.
Now, we've been doing, for the past few weeks, we've been making, not that I'm trying to give a commercial to HelloFresh, but I happened to just randomly try it out for my trip home, and we've been making these prepared meals every week. Have you found that to be a good process?
Yeah, I think it's really good because it kind of teaches you how to cook, because I don't really know how to cook really. So it's kind of good for me, so that if I like remember how to do something, that I could like make it myself. Or it also like tells you like what ingredients like go well together. And it's also something different to try, because I feel like at my house, we always have like, we eat like a lot of the same things. And I feel like it's better if you try something new every once in a while.
Has there been anything that we've tried that you've you've enjoyed in particular?
I like the, how do you say that? The gnocchi.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I like that. It was really good. Yeah, I like that.
That's been your favorite one. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
And has it been easy to follow the directions on the cards that they send?
Yeah, like me and my cousin, we made them and we like did our own dish and it was pretty easy. We both figured it out and it ended up really good.
Mm-hmm. Have you learned any cooking techniques in the past few weeks that you didn't know about before?
I can't really pick one off the top of my head, but like I guess just like cooking the different kind of vegetables. Mm-hmm. Like how long you're supposed to cook them.
What about my super cool tomato slicing technique?
Oh, yeah, how you cut tomatoes.
I feel like there's got to be a better life hack for that. And I'll give a plug to my friend Joyce. I'll link to her YouTube channel. Actually, Ava, you might really enjoy it, but Joyce is a health coach and she does a bunch of YouTube videos on how to cut different fruits. And I think she is branching out into other items. Like maybe she did onions too. So maybe I could ask her to do one on tomatoes and we'll see how it compares to my process. Do you want to explain my process a little bit? Well, do you remember it?
Yeah, you like cut down the tomato, like on the side of the tomato, and you don't cut all the way. And then you go down the other way. Like if you did like horizontal, and then you would go vertically. And then also
so you start at the tip and you work towards like the stem part.
Yeah.
And you're creating like a cross section.
Yeah.
And then
you like flip it and you cut it so that you create little chunks. Mm-hmm. Like it's kind of like you're chopping it, but it's like it's an easier way.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't really say that that's mine. I think my mom taught me how to do that. And there you have it. It's passed down. Anything else about the kitchen cooking that we should talk about as far as life hacks go?
Well, I can't really think of anything, but I guess while you're cooking, always taste the food while you're going. It makes it more enjoyable. And also if you do something wrong, then.
That's a brilliant life hack, Ava. Good job. Okay. So now we're going to move on over to one of your favorite things. Well, a group of your favorite things to do, which is sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You like sports?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about what are some of your favorite sports?
Well, I play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only sport that I actually like play like in a club. But I also like playing basketball and volleyball. Yeah. I've played baseball and softball a little bit, but I don't, that's not like my favorite.
And what about water sports?
I like water skiing and surfing. I don't know if tubing counts, but that's fun too.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what really qualifies as a sport. Tubing might be more of a
activity. Like a,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's start with talking about soccer. Even though I know that you are constantly like improving your skills. But when it comes, you play mostly the goalie position.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be a very scary position to play. But let's say somebody out there is listening and they wanted to think about being a goalie on a soccer team. What advice would you give for them?
Well, I'd say, try to like not be afraid of the ball, and trust me, it will hurt sometimes, but normally it doesn't. And then also you have to have confidence so that you can come out and get the ball. Also, you want to make sure that you love this position and that you're willing to go through hard things, because sometimes you think that it's all your fault that you let the ball in the goal, but trust me, it's not. It takes a whole team to win, and it takes a whole team to lose. So,
good advice, Ava. What made you interested in the goalie position?
Well, I was always interested in it. I played defense a lot, and then I think I just wanted to try it. But, and so I did. I started learning how to play, and it was partly because we didn't have a goalkeeper, I think. So, yeah, and I wanted to try it and see that if I could do it, and I ended up liking it, so now I play it now.
And you're pretty good at it, I'll say, because I got to watch you play in a couple of games.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're taking a, you're participating in a soccer camp this summer, and I know you've been learning a lot of other, what we call it, like field skills. Is that the right phrase to use for non-goalie positions?
Well, that's what I would call it, but you could call it like, I don't know, like defensive skills or like offensive skills and midfield skills.
Is there something new that you learned this summer that you think is useful that a soccer player should know how to do?
Well, I feel like learning how to give a good pass is very good. I don't think I just learned this summer, but learning how to give a good pass is really good. Like learning how to make runs and getting open is really important, because that's how you can score a goal.
And what do you do to get better at giving a good pass?
Well, just practicing, like just giving it right to the person, and also using, like, I guess you would call it the inside of your foot instead of like hitting it with your toe, or sometimes the outside of your foot can work well, but it's a little bit of like a more of an unreliable thing that I guess you could do. But if you have like the normal pass down, then you could start working on that.
And are there any cool tricks that you're practicing this summer with the soccer ball?
Well, I'm trying to do a rainbow. It's kind of difficult to do.
Can you explain what a rainbow is? It's kind of hard to describe it, but...
Well, the goal is to like get the ball over your head. But what you do is you put the ball like on the back of your foot, and then with the other foot, you like put your foot under the ball, and you have to try to roll it up your leg and then kick it over your head. And I can only get it like halfway, so I'm trying to get better at that.
And so what do you do to get better? Just keep practicing?
Yeah, or like trying to practicing it, like rolling it up my leg and then trying to kick it, but sometimes it's just not going to work.
Any other life hacks with related to soccer that you think we should talk about?
Well, again, like art, you should just keep trying and keep practicing, because that's what makes you better. Practice makes perfect.
What happens when you feel like you've had a bad game? What do you do?
Well, you can just tell yourself what you think you did well and something that you could work on. And then, like, then go to practice the next couple days and try to work on those things, because the coach will probably say, we need to work on this. Also, like, everything you guys probably need to work on that you did bad in the game.
And do you ever get frustrated during a game? What happens if you get frustrated to keep your mind, like, focused?
I kind of just try to focus on the game more and just, like, I'm trying my best and that's all that I can do right now. And if even if it's not good, I'll try to practice and get better.
Nice. So what other sports do you think you have some life hacks for? Would be water skiing or surfing? Do you have any for those?
Well, for surfing, if you're starting out, I think one thing is to just let the boat pull you up when you're holding onto the rope, because basically you just put your feet on a board and then you hold onto this rope that kind of looks like a skiing rope, but it's way closer to the boat. And I go way slower than I go water skiing. Like when I go surfing, I only go like 10 miles an hour or like 9. So, yeah, but then just let the boat pull you up. And then if you feel like you're going to fall, I recommend just letting go so that you don't like fall on your face or like anything like that. And then also, if you're trying to like move, don't lean forward too much because you'll feel like the board go down and then you could nosedive and then face plant, which isn't the best thing.
Does it feel good?
No, and I've done it before, so.
You survive.
Yeah.
And what do you think is the trick? Because I've seen you surf behind the boat and I've seen other people try. I've tried it, right? And there comes a point where you actually let go of the rope and you just ride the wave. And what do you think the trick is to finding that sweet spot?
I think the trick is, like, for my boat, is to get closer to, like, the back of the boat and then to, like, push forward on the board with your front foot that's closest to the boat. And then, but like, again, don't push too far because then you could face plant. But, mm-hmm. And then you'll feel like the slack in the rope. And then even if you let go of it and you don't get it, you can always just try it again. And normally if you let go, all that happens is the boat just keeps going and you don't go with it. And then you just fall off because it stops taking you. Mm-hmm. But also you have to like keep your foot, like you had to keep pushing down and like letting go and stuff so that you can stay in that position and you don't like go back in the wake and then you can't do it anymore.
So you're kind of always paying attention to the right balance of your weight on the board. You can't just like relax.
Well, you can relax to a certain point, but you also have to keep focused on like, are you getting far back in the wake? Are you keeping like even balance? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Or if you're staying in that spot.
And what's, do you think there's one that's easier, water skiing or surfing?
I think that surfing's easier because it's really easy to just get up. It's really easy. The boat kind of just pulls you. And then the board, you have to turn the board, but the board kind of just turns. And then you just hold on to the rope. And most of the people who I've seen try it, like my friends and you, they normally just get up their first try, but my experience with water skiing, you have to keep like your legs together when you're trying, and you have to like pretend like you're sitting in a chair, and it's kind of more difficult to do that than surfing because it took me like 3 or 4 times or maybe even more than that for me to get up for my first time.
And did you use the little brace that keeps your skis together the first few times?
Yeah, I did. So that it's one, like, so that my legs don't go apart so that I can actually ride on them. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you need to have a lot of strength in order to get up on water skis?
Well, kind of, I guess. But you don't have to have, like, you don't have to work out, like, every day just to go water skiing. Like, you don't have to do that. But you want some strength in your legs, I guess, because it's like more that your legs than your arms, I would say.
You're listening to I Want What She Has on Radio Kingston, WKNY, AM 1490, FM 107.9 in Kingston, New York.
So I was thinking a little bit about the metaphor of the boat in what Ava was describing and the differences between water skiing and surfing behind a boat. And I think it's interesting that they're so very similar in a way, right? You're kind of playing a sport or participating in a sport-like activity behind a boat. But in one instance,
you let the boat do the work. You let the boat pull you up. That's in the surfing instance. And that in water skiing, how it's a lot harder because you have to have more strength. You kind of have to be more actively engaged, proper positioning, things like that when it comes to successfully getting up on water skis. And I think that's just an interesting thing to kind of take away and notice that when are we trying to force a situation? When are we trying to use our brute force strength to get through something? When what we could be doing is letting the boat do more of the work. Obviously not the boat, whatever it is in life. Anyways, those are just some of my deep thoughts in thinking about our conversation. And so we've got some more. We've got a few more things to talk about with my niece, Ava. And here we go.
Okay. One last sport to talk about, which is, I know it's a sport that is a frustrating sport for many, perhaps yourself included, Ava.
Yeah.
And the sport is golf. But I know that you're trying, and I know that you're trying to hit the ball straight.
Yeah.
And it's not always working. But your dad is very happy to offer suggestions to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there are things that you're learning about the game that you think are useful tips to pass along to others.
Well, definitely try not to get frustrated because golf is a mind game. That's what my dad said. He's like, golf is a mind game. And so, like, if you watch, like, the PGA Tour and you see, like, the pros in their the last, like, I guess you could call it, like, the last couple holes, it's like they're getting, like, you can tell it in their face that the stress is getting to them. But some people handle it really well. Some people don't. Like, I don't.
because you've got a big trophy at the end of the game waiting for you? What is the stress about?
No, well, like, I don't have stress. It's like I don't handle, like, me not hitting it very well. I don't handle that very well.
And what did we just learn about the NBA MVP Giannis, how do you say his last name?
Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think.
Mm-hmm. What was his tip about sports?
He was like, don't like cause like big dips. Like if you win, he's like, if you win, just be like, oh, that's good. Like that's good. But then if you lose, like, well, like, don't, like, say, oh, we won, yes, 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 and then we lost. You're like, so he said not to cause, like, big dips in, I guess, in your emotions, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the same thing your dad is saying about how it's a head game, in a sense, and, mm-hmm. and you just kind of take it one ball at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I often get told that I need to keep my eye on the ball. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, like if you look up to like see where you're going, where you're going to hit it, and you're not looking at the ball, you'll probably miss the ball. Rather it be you go behind it, in front of it, or you just like go over it. Or you might miss it, like if you're driving the ball, you might just hit the tee, not the ball. So, yeah.
So keeping your eye on the ball
is very important, like most sports.
Okay, let's change directions and move on over to music. I know that you play the ukulele because we try to play it together.
Yeah.
And I know that you played the saxophone during the school year, but you're not going to continue that for now, right?
Yeah, I only did it for one school year.
You'll probably keep playing the uke on and off here and there, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I think so.
What do you like about the ukulele?
Well, I like that it's quite easy to learn. I'm kind of a beginner, but it's easy to learn. And that some of the chords are really simple and that you can make up your own songs with just the chords that you know. Like some easy chords are C and then A is also easy and F.
What makes those chords easy?
Well, they use like one or two fingers. So like C, you use the string that's farthest away from you and you use the third fret down and you just put one finger and it's really easy and I think it sounds good. And then for A, you use the string that's closest to you and you do one fret down and then you put your finger right there and then you do the second string over, so I guess the second one closest to you, and then you go, you're on the first fret and you just put your finger there and yeah. And then F is like A, but and you do the same thing with the first string, but then for the then you go to the string that is third, I guess, closest to you, and then you would put your finger on the first fret, and then A minor.
Yep, go ahead.
And then A minor is just you're on the second fret, and you use the first string, I guess, the one that's closest to you, and you just put your finger on there.
Sounds pretty easy.
Yeah.
What are the challenges that you face in playing the ukulele?
Well, like getting the rhythm right for the song or like putting multiple fingers on like one fret is kind of difficult. Like I don't have very big fingers, but if you have big fingers, it could be difficult.
And what do you think is a good beginner song to practice if you're just starting the ukulele?
I think a good beginner song is definitely Riptide. Because it has some pretty easy chords.
Like, do you remember the chords?
One's A minor that we just learned. So it uses one finger. And then G uses three fingers. And you do the fret, I mean, the string, the second string closest to you. And you go down to the second fret and put your finger on there. And then you go to the next string over, which would be the third string. And then you put your finger on the third fret. And then for the last string, which would be the one that's farthest away from you, you put your finger on the second fret. And then for C, we just learned that you use the one finger. And yeah.
So those are the only chords that you need to know for that song.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Are there any other songs that you like to play on the ukulele?
Well, I tried Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but we haven't really worked on that one that much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How often do you think it's important to practice something in order to get better at it?
Well, for the saxophone, I was at school every day, and so we did it every day. But for the uke, I've kind of been on and off with it, but to get better, you should probably practice at least every week or like every couple of days. Like you don't have to do it like every single day unless that's what you want to do, but you don't have to, I'd say.
And how long do you think you need to practice for? Like how many minutes would you practice for?
Like 15 or 20 minutes. Like it doesn't have to be like 2 hours of just playing the ukulele. And what I would do is I would work on chords that are more difficult, getting used to those. And you can try a song or you can just try to make up your own song.
Yeah, I'm waiting for your song to hit the Widman airwaves. I'm still waiting, Ava. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
That relates to doing the things that maybe you don't always like to do, right? There's definitely things that we have to do in life that maybe we're not excited about. We don't enjoy them in particular, but we still have to do them. And I wonder if you have anything like that in your life.
Well, some of the stuff that we have to do, but we can't, like, we don't really like to do is like chores, like doing laundry or like doing dishes. But yeah, I feel like you have to like think like what comes out of that. Because if you don't clean your dishes, then you have nothing to eat on. And that's, you kind of need that. And then like for laundry, if you don't do your laundry, then it's never going to get done. And then you'll have to like wear dirty clothes, which I don't really recommend that.
So is that what you do when you're asked to do something that you don't like to do? You think of the benefit of what's going to happen if you do it?
Yeah.
And does that work for you?
It does sometimes, but sometimes I have to push myself a little harder to do it if I'm doing something else. Or like you can think like, good things are going to come out of this and I can always do what I'm doing later. So, and the quicker I do it, then the more that I can enjoy stuff that I actually like.
Nice. So I always like to talk about, well, I don't always get to, but I like to talk about self-care on the radio show. And so I'm wondering, what things you like to do to take care of yourself?
Well, I like to do face masks. or I like to like do skincare, I guess you could say. But sometimes I turn my room into kind of like a spa. It's kind of fun. And one time,
how do you do that?
Well, I have LED lights in my room, so I turn those to like a relaxing color, like purple or I like the color yellow, so maybe not like a super bright yellow, but like a dull yellow. And then I turn on like spa music, and then I would put a face mask on and then like either do like painting or something that I
enjoy. Relaxing activity?
Yeah, like knitting or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or reading, that's a good one too. And then also, you can bring in, like, your other family members to do it. Like, I did it with my mom one time. And, yeah.
So how did you do that? You had her relax and you gave her a facial?
Yeah, and then I put one on and we watched a movie.
Oh, that's a good idea. How does it make you feel when you get to do things like that?
Well, it's just, like, relaxing and it's just fun for me because I like to, like, do spa stuff. And I feel like it just makes me feel, like, happy. And then also if you do it before you go to bed, it normally gives me a good night's sleep.
That's a good bonus. I know a lot of people that have a hard time falling asleep and staying asleep. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have problems falling asleep at night?
Sometimes, but it's not, like, every day. Sometimes, and then what I would do is I would like think about what I'm going to do tomorrow and how excited I'd be. But like, I think about, well, if I don't get a good night's sleep and I don't go to bed, then those activities aren't going to be fun anymore because you're going to be tired. And then I also think about how comfy my bed is. Trust me, it works.
Well, this is a good life hack. How do you make your bed comfy?
Well, if you like lots of blankets like I do, then bring in all the blankets that you want and just like put them all on, and you can like set pillows around you if you want and like make sure that you're super comfortable. If you sleep with your pets, then you can do that. Or you can like turn on like some like a noise machine or something to like make you fall asleep. I use a fan because I like the air and that. The sound that it makes, and that's what I do normally.
How important is it to you to take care of yourself?
I think it's very important because, like, if you don't take care of yourself, then why would, like, if you don't feel good and you don't take care of yourself, then why would you do, like, other stuff than do that? Because, like, if you don't take care of yourself and you don't feel good, doing these other things might not be, like, enjoyable because you just feel like, well, you don't really, like, you're not happy doing anything and stuff. And sometimes it's good to just take time for yourself to be able to do stuff that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So are you looking forward to school starting again?
Well, I'm excited to see my friends again, like all of them, because some of them I couldn't hang out with during the summer. And then I'm not so excited about the homework part, but I'm excited to meet my new teachers and be able to learn new things. I think I'm excited most for science class right now, because I hope we get to do some, like, experiments and stuff, because last year we couldn't really do it because of COVID. So
what kind of experiments do you like to do?
Well, I like to do something like elephant toothpaste, but the miniature version, because if you do, it's like where you, I forgot what you mix together, but you mix together this stuff and they call it elephant toothpaste because it becomes like big and fluffy for like an elephant, I guess you could say. So, yeah, it's kind of has an interesting name,
I'd say. So it sounds like homework is one of those things that you don't necessarily like to do, even though every time I'm around you, you're always like, I can't, I have to do my homework. So you seem very dedicated to your homework.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who, like, didn't do their homework, and now they're, like, in summer school and stuff, and I don't really want to waste my summer having to do school stuff when I could have just got it done earlier.
So it's kind of that same mentality of thinking about the outcome of getting this thing done that maybe isn't your favorite thing to do. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, and also some of it can be enjoyable, like, for science class, we would have to watch these cool videos. So they weren't really that bad, but some of the stuff like writing these paragraphs and stuff, I mean, they were fun, like, to learn how to write them, but to write a lot of them, I don't know. But they were also fun when you figured out that you were, like, doing it right and you were learning how to do it and stuff.
So you're trying to tell me you're not going to become a writer?
Well, I like writing.
Okay.
A lot of times we would write, like, the same things, and it wasn't, like, that fun, I guess. Yeah. I'd rather be, like, doing different things, like reading and writing about books and stuff. I'd like to do that.
And do you think about, like, what you want to do when you're older, or do you try to just enjoy your time now as a 12-year-old?
Well, I've kind of thought about it, but I don't really think about it so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought about, like, some that I could do. I was thinking about being an architectural designer.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I like designing things. You can do that part, but then you're, like, also, like, the architect, so yeah.
But it's too early to tell, you're kind of saying.
Yeah.
Good. I think that's a good plan. I think I changed my career path like 10 times, so it's good to keep an open mind about it.
Yeah.
Well, anything else exciting you have planned for your summer before it ends?
Well, I don't have anything big planned, but just hanging out with my friends and doing stuff that I enjoy, like painting or surfing or playing golf.
Nice. Well, thanks for all the life hacks that you shared with me and all of the listeners. I learned some good tips, and maybe it'll spark some interesting conversation where we'll learn some things from people out there who are listening. Mm-hmm.
So we've been talking life hacks, or maybe just life tips. Life hack can get a strange reaction from some folks. Like, we have to hack our life when it's not really necessary. But I don't. I kind of have just been somebody my whole life who's been looking for the maybe the best way of doing something. Most efficient way, ways to enhance an experience, ways to enhance life. So I don't think there's anything wrong with using the phrase life hacks or celebrating them. I will say that when I was looking online for some life hacks, I came across some pretty crazy things. There were many that were geared directly towards women. There was this one YouTube channel, what the heck is the name of it? I just had it at the tip of my tongue. It's like girls getting crafty, 5-minute crafty girls. And they had an entertaining video. I'll link to it in the show notes. They had an entertaining video about their own life hacks. A few of them that stood out to me were how to avoid getting lipstick stains on your clothes when you're putting on a shirt over your head and you've already applied your lipstick. So in the video, she places a McDonald's bag over her head before putting on her sweater. I'm not sure what size McDonald's bag would actually fit my head. Maybe it's not important that it's a McDonald's bag. I guess this is for those types of shirts or sweaters where you don't want to stretch the neck out, or you can't stretch the neck out that wide. Obviously, we don't want to use a plastic bag, but that's one of their life hacks. Oh, maybe I'm lagging a little bit. Sorry if I'm coming through slowly. I don't know how to enhance my internet. My internet might be acting funny, so I apologize for that. It should be a normal internet connection, but alas, it is technology and things sometimes go awry. So I was explaining a little bit about what you can do if you have bruises on your legs. So if you are a sporty gal and you're playing soccer, you're kicking the ball around, maybe you're getting kicked by other people and you've got some bruises on your legs, and you don't like the way it looks. The video that I watched shows how you can use a stencil, and you can wrap a stencil around a round glass, and then you're going to slip your tights over it, like a almost like a nude set of tights, it looked like from the video. I suppose you could use a light colored tight. And then the stencil that they used had stars on it. So they essentially used a permanent marker to tattoo their tights. So there were stars. You could use different designs. Something to really spice up your tights. Then you put them on and voila, you don't really notice the bruises that are there. Okay. They had another tip about using a paperclip to create a razor back bra. So that the bra, you all probably know what a razor back bra is if you wear a bra. Interestingly, I was playing basketball with Ava, and she had asked me to help her clip her bra straps together. And I had no idea that a lot of bras already come with the ability to clip them together to create a razor back bra. So that was their life hack tip that I learned from Ava last week. If your bra doesn't have these kinds of clips where you can connect the straps in the back, you can use a paper clip to create a razor back bra. Another useful tip for paper clips, which I have had this struggle in the past many, many times, where you're trying to clasp a bracelet together. And so what you can do is you can extend the paper clip so that there's a good portion of it that's long. There's still a loop. And you take the one end that has just the circle that you want to clasp into on your bracelet, and you slip the paper clip through it. Then you hold on, you kind of place it along the center of your wrist, so that the long part of this, the lengthened paper clip, is long enough where you can hold on to it. You bend your fingers over it, and you can hold on to that so that it keeps that circle at the center of your wrist. Then your other hand is free to take the clasp. The ring is stationary. It's not moving. It's not slipping down your wrist. It's right there, fastened to the paper clip. You clasp it, and then you release the paperclip from it. That was great. So I guess the moral of that story is to keep a paperclip with you as much as you can. This was one of their more bizarre life hacks. Not sure that it was, I would ever put it to use in this instance, but it was a cute part of the video. So in order to avoid bad smells, you can use tampons stuffed into your nostrils. Now, the other thing that they use tampons for, I think later in the video, was to actually help a bloody nose, which I never thought of using before. So for all of those of you who have switched to a cup or something and you have extra tampons, now you know what you can use them for. Okay. Other things to help manage bad smells. Dabbing essential oils on a roll of toilet paper. So you just take your rolls of toilet paper. If you got essential oils, you kind of drop them around the side of the roll, and it imbues the whole roll with these aromas. And then voila, you have nice smelling toilet paper rolls in your bathroom. And then as they're being unwound, you continue to expand that lovely aroma throughout the restroom. Smelly shoes. Putting orange peels in them, which I think is kind of a great idea. I never thought about doing that. Another useful, not useful, it's probably not the right word. Another interesting use for a tampon is to create an inhaler with it, where they basically undo it. They put a tea tree oil onto the tampon cotton and then put it back into the applicator. They blocked it up with something. I'm not sure. It looked like they took a corkscrew and kind of cut off just a little bit of the corkscrew and then plugged it up and then used this as an inhaler with whatever your favorite oil might be. I actually don't know when that would come into, like when you would use that. When I was in, where were we? When we were in Morocco, we went to a tanning factory and they used the urine of animals to help break down the animal skins. And so it was putrid smelling. They actually handed out mint to us before we enter into the place to kind of check everything out. So you just, the mint leaves right up above, right, you know, by your nostrils. So I suppose there are going to be situations where you're going to want something that's just pleasant that you can keep up. I don't know if it's more awkward that you're walking around with a tampon applicator right underneath your nose, but that's for you to choose. Okay. Coca-Cola in the toilet. This came up in a couple of different situations. I thought in the video it was used for odors. It could be used for stains in the toilet too, from what I saw on another website. So you kind of just open up a can of Coca-Cola, plop it in, let it sit maybe overnight, scrub out the toilet, and voila, you have a nice smelling, shining toilet bowl. This was an interesting one too. So if you have a situation where you anticipate that you might be perspiring, in the video, the woman had on a shirt and then she had like a tight sweatshirt on over it. And so what she did so that she didn't perspire through the sweatshirt is she used like a thin maxi pad and she applied it. She basically stuck it on the inside of the sweatshirt so that it was in a position where it would absorb the armpit perspiration. I'm sure there's different situations that you could find, what different clothing situations that you might find that useful for. I'd never thought of that, so just passing that one along. Using bobby pins to keep your underwear inside of your pants, for those of you who have that specific problem. Grating the bottoms of slippery shoes, so your fancy shoes are sliding around. You can use a vegetable cheese grater and grate the bottom of the shoes. This was an interesting one that I actually never really thought of. It looked kind of funny, but I could see myself finding a different way of accomplishing this. They glued it. I'm not sure exactly the mechanism, but they put a spoon underneath the toilet seat so that it acts as a handle by which to raise and lower the toilet seat. And as somebody who's been in a house sharing a toilet with multiple people, I think that's kind of a great idea to have a handle so that you don't have to actually touch the toilet seat all the time. I like that one. Okay. You have static hair. This may be helpful in the winter time when you're taking on and off your hats. A dryer sheet stretched out over a brush, kind of like poking through all the brush tongs and brush bristles, and then you are going to brush your hair. Actually, now that I'm saying this out loud, I realize that I didn't watch the whole video in this instance. As I said, I'll link to the video so that you can check some of these things out. Okay, what to do with old tights? These were kind of some cool ideas. So you could cut it up into small little rings, and then they can become hair ties. This one I thought was kind of interesting. You know, like when you have those garbages where the bag just kind of, you know, it's a loose garbage bag that just keeps falling down into the garbage can as you're adding things into it. You take basically like the waistband, you cut up the waist from old pair of tights, and you can use that to stretch it out over the garbage can to hold the bag in place. They used an old pair of tights to make an outdoor hand washing station where you put a bar of soap outside, you tie it to a tree, have a water bottle, and then voila, you can, I don't know, if you're having an outdoor camp, outdoor guests, and you need an outdoor hand washing station, maybe you're camping. Vacuuming to find lost tiny items in the house. This has happened to me where, like, I've lost maybe the back of an earring. I can't quite find it. So you take and as I'm saying some of these things, I'm kind of laughing because I don't identify or find myself very handy around the house, like not a particularly good house maker. And so some of these things might be super obvious to you all, but this one, you may already know, but I didn't know. So you've lost some little things. Maybe you've lost jewelry stuck into the seams of a couch or underneath a couch. You've dropped the backs of your earrings on the floor. You can't find it. You stretch out a pair of tights over the vacuum, and then you run the vacuum along the floor so that the tight catches the small item, right? You check the vacuum every so often, see if you found the thing that you've been looking for. The suction from the vacuum pulls it up, the tight blocks it, voila, it's right there, and then you can use it again. There was a cool craft project related to using old tights where you basically create like a screen, a silk screen of sorts to use for t-shirts where you use, is it like Mod Podge? You create a stencil, you stretch the old tight over one of those like embroidery frames, and then you create a stencil, you Mod Podge around it. If I'm using that correct crafting tool, I actually never use that, have never used that. And then you have basically a silk screen stencil that you can use to silk screen t-shirts. I thought that was a cool idea. What's this last one? Oh, a phone pick filter. That was a useful thing where they ran the tight over the phone, and then they had an interesting filter for when they were taking pictures. So that was from one website. I'll link to this other website. It was Brightside something. And one of the cool things on there is, because I'm a big fan of roses, I love roses a lot. And I didn't realize that you can easily perhaps make cuttings from roses. But what they suggest is that you stick the end of the rose cutting into a potato first before planting it into the ground. So I'm going to try that one out when I get back home. Another kind of cool, useful thing is if your shoes are too tight. This website said to stuff wet newspaper into the shoes and let it dry, and then remove them, and the shoes should have stretched out. Let's see if there's any other things that I want to share with you before we go to another little musical interlude. Well, this one was interesting. Chewing on an apple to refresh your breath. If you've forgotten your deodorant, you can cut orange or a lemon in half and rub it on your skin. And this one, which I could have used this morning, was when you're boiling something, in order to prevent the water from boiling over, you place a wooden spoon on top of it. And what they say is that the wooden spoon prevents, it pops the bubbles basically so that the water doesn't boil over. I will try that one out. If any of you have tried these and they have or haven't worked, I'd love to hear from you. If you have others, I would love to hear from you also. I realized there was one other life hack from the website Brightside that I thought was really interesting, which was how to start a fire. And they suggest using potato chips as your kindling. I don't know what that says about potato chips, but I'm curious to try that out. Okay. I thought I would share a little bit of my own life hacks. I don't know if I really call them life hacks, but in a way they are. As I said earlier, I'm not really, I guess, somebody who has a lot of like practical tips about how to do things. I probably do a lot of things very wrong, in very wrong ways, just because it doesn't, I don't know. It's not a priority of mine in a sense. I'm like a big picture life hack person more than I am the very like really practical life hack tips that we've shared throughout the show today. So, but some of mine are when it comes to, I would say, physical activity or exercising, you know, being active. One of the things that I've confronted is a lack of inertia at times. And I'll just give the caveat right now. Maybe it is important to be non-active in that moment. Like maybe you're listening to your body. Sometimes we just need a little push, right? Like Ava talked about earlier, that she needs a little extra something to get her to do the thing that she doesn't necessarily want to do, but knows that it'll be good for her in the long run. So when it comes to exercising, doing things like that, I like to just tell myself to do a minimum amount, right? Like if it's just go in the other room and do some stretching for like 10, 15 minutes, sometimes that turns into a 30, 45 minute like yoga series that I end up doing. Sometimes if I am of the mindset that I need like a whole hour or hour and a half to do some exercise and I don't have that much time, rather than just bypassing it entirely, I'll tell myself, just go outside and do a 15, 20 minute jog. So I get a little bit more, it's a little bit deeper of an experience for me because I'm jogging rather than walking, which is what my normal practices. So it's really just kind of saying, do it for 5, 10, 15 minutes, and most likely you'll end up doing it for a longer period of time. The other thing that I do is to try to use music to motivate myself. Can also use music to change my mood. So those are, you know, music isn't everyone's thing, but for me, it has a very profound effect. I do think music has the ability to increase endorphins within ourselves, which are happy hormones. So music, think about it, and find a playlist that is your go-to playlist. I recently created a roller skating playlist, which I realize is actually a great jogging playlist. And so if I'm not really feeling it, sometimes I just put it on. Makes me want to move a little bit faster. Sometimes I only move faster for 3 minutes and then I go back to walking. Whatever it is, you know, just experiment. Okay. Drinking water first thing in the morning. We all know water is super helpful for us. And sometimes we get off in our busy days and we forget. So drinking a nice big glass of water first thing in the morning is a great way to make sure you get your water, especially since it's so hot out. Eating a protein when I'm eating sweets. I think that that's useful from a health perspective because it helps to keep our blood sugar better regulated. But I also think it helps to keep my sweet cravings a little bit down. So, you know, maybe you can add some nuts. Maybe you can add a dessert that has nuts. You know, whatever it is, you can get creative with that. But to think about that. Slowing down and creating space. These are things that are hard for a lot of people who have a lot of responsibility. But it is really, really like a profound life hack. It can permeate through so many different aspects of your life. Really, I don't know how to impress that upon people. But if you're somebody who says, no, I can't do it, I just don't have the time, it doesn't resonate with me, just try it out for like a week and see where you can create some space. If I could use like a metaphor, right? Like if a plant is in a pot and the roots don't have enough space, it just can't live. It can't exist. So you want to create space. You want to create some slowing down in your life. Learning new things, that is a very cool way of creating a more vibrant, exciting life, maybe full of passion even. Thinking about the things you're curious about doesn't mean you have to become an expert, doesn't mean you have to become, you know, it becomes something that you are so good at that you earn a living off of it. It could be anything where you're just learning something new. And maybe that goes along with having fun, right? Having time in your day to do things that maybe don't serve a purpose other than just to bring you joy. Not ignoring emotions, but at the same time, not letting them control you. This is tricky, maybe worth a bigger conversation, but as Ava talked about earlier, as we talked about Giannis's experience, our experience with our golf game, whatever else we're involved with, is to try to not let the emotions take over the situation, to let them be. You don't have to like shut them off, to let them be and let them run their course, but don't let them control you. Noticing what inspires you and making time for that. And this kind of goes hand in hand with this other, I guess, maybe last thing, which is to really spend some time thinking about your intentions for yourself and for your life. What is it that inspires you? How do you want to be spending your time? Sometimes we just assume that our life is the way it is, the way it has to be. But if we can actually slow down, spend a little time, whether it's just thinking about it, better if you could write some things down, write about them, acknowledge them, think about what it is that inspires you. Think about how you want to be spending your time and really honoring that. I think it's a very profound thing to just actually acknowledge it to yourself. That alone can help shift things for you. Also something that better deserves a longer conversation, but you know, maybe that life hack is just spending a little time journaling, time for yourself and journaling, thinking about how you want to be spending your life. What's important to you? Okie dokie. So I wanted to close out the show with a last few final words taken from my conversation with my niece, Ava. Thank you, Ava, for joining me on the show today. And here is how we wanted to end.
Love yourself and uplift one another. Awesome.
And the crowd goes wild. It's been Life Hacks with Ava and Teresa.
And that is the show, folks. I had lots of fun. Hanging out with a 12-year-old is good for your soul. Big thanks to Ian for running the dials back at Radio Kingston. Thanks to all the folks who put life hacks out in the world. To my friend Joyce, who I linked to. She's got some great YouTube videos on cutting papayas, pineapples, onions, all different sorts of things. Thanks, obviously, to Ava Widman for being an amazing person. Thanks to Shauna Falana for the music today and to the other musicians that we listened to. If you're listening to this on the podcast and you're not hearing the songs, I'll link to the Spotify playlist in the show notes. So that was Santi Gold, Heartless Bastards, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and Cat Power. And next a week, hopefully if all things go as planned, Nina Isbell, who is an artist, a really fabulous artist, is going to be my guest for next week's show. Of course, the wonderful Ida Hakala is coming up next with the Heavy Light Show, and you'll have an opportunity to do some breathing, presumably, with Sean and or Micah. And I'll say it again, until next week, love yourself and uplift one another. Ciao.